whether we believe in religion or not, or whether we believe in rebirth or not, there's not anyone who doesn't appreciate kindness and compassion. Good morning, everyone. Today we have all gathered here to meet Dalai Lama. I'm honored today to have the honor to welcome on behalf of our school and all the schools who have come here, His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Though His Holiness has been heard to say that I am a simple monk, no more, no less, that's it. We could learn a lot from the characteristics of a simple monk. A simple monk achieves greatness in the eyes of others because he knows that he is nothing special to begin with. He occupies the position of a servant even when sitting on the teaching throne. We are very fortunate to be in the presence of a great teacher. Although we are very privileged to have come here, but it would be really nice, sir, if Holiness visits us. And please join me in welcoming His Holiness, the Dalai Lama.
You have something to say? Indeed, I am very happy having meeting with young people, young brothers, sisters. Two reasons. Number one, now I'm nearly 79 years old. So when I met old people, sometimes feeling, oh, they go first or me go first. When I meet these young people, I also feel a little bit younger. Then, more serious thing is the world belongs to humanity. And also, I think since we human being develop in this country, I mean this country or the world, because of human intelligence, I think a lot of sort of progress or constructive things also happen. But at the same time, I think human species or mammal is the, I think, most troublemaker. I think war actually mobilized violence and sometimes legalized violence. I think only that exists in among humanity, not other animals. Sometimes it's like a monkey or some other sort of group, social animal. Sometimes it's a little bit fight, but not such sort of serious sort of violence. So now, it is quite logical. We human being must sort of pay more attention how develop or bring, develop means the facility for happy life. So we should now think more that line rather than destruction including war. Clear? War is, I think, part of human history. Now today's world, now today, 21st century, I think sufficient war took place in 20th century, even now beginning of the 21st century. The innocent people, children, women, old people, mercilessly killing. And 20th century, past century, about 200 millions of people killed, according to some historian. Then actually, nuclear weapons also used two bombs, one Hiroshima, one Nagasaki. Many years ago, I had opportunity to visit Hiroshima where bomb fell. At that time, some victims of nuclear weapon, there I met some of them. Really terrible. So now that kind of sort of situation should not repeat now 21st century. That's now actually your responsibility, the generation of 21st century. Now you have the full responsibility. My generation, 20th century, generation of 20th century, now our century gone. So now time for rest and watching you. what kind of thinking or working these 21st century's young people? You simply spend some picnic there, some nightclub like that, or you pay more serious about the future of humanity. It is our responsibility to just watch. Sometimes I was telling the young people, the later part of this 21st century, we will not see. Either we in heaven or hell. Even in hell, I jokingly telling people, I can get some permission, at least 1 week, 2 weeks, come to the world and watching you. What kind of world, what kind of effort you are doing. So therefore, I really extremely happy meeting with young people, a generation of 21st century. The 21st century, just the beginning. So past is past. No force. If we believe God, even God cannot change past. So now future is still like space. We can move. So you have the sort of ability, or now I think you have the opportunity to create a better world. Better means not only food or this economy, also very, very important, but mainly peaceful world, compassionate world. Peace not out of fear, but out of compassion, out of sense of respect or sense of concern of others' well-being, sense of respect to others' life. Then genuine peace. So these is very much related with inner value. More sense of concern of others' well-being, you get inner strength, more self-confidence. So you can carry your life more honest more truthful. So your life can carry transparency. That automatically brings trust from other. Trust creates friendship. We are social animals. We need friends. Our friendship due to money is temporary, artificial. Friendship with power, also temporary. The friendship on a human level, that's long-lasting friendship that we need. So genuine friendship come on the level of human beings' level, not official rank or religious, because of that, believe these things. So therefore, this century, in order to be peaceful century, ultimately, people should develop inner peace. Through inner peace, you can create peaceful family, peaceful community, peaceful nation, finally, peaceful humanity. That I want to tell you. Then, about 200 different countries, I think India is, I think, one of the very, very ancient nation. Then, China, Arab, these also is a very, very ancient sort of nation. Within that, I think this country, over, I think, almost 3,000 years, the Ahimsa concept become part of Indian culture. With that, religious harmony. Many other country, even same religion, like Christian or Christianity, fighting, Catholic, Protestant. And same Muslim, same follower of Asidi, Quran, or Allah, but Sunni and Shia problems. Now in this country, India, all world major religious tradition live together. Of course, some occasionally some problems, that's understandable. About billion population, some mischievous people always there. It's understandable. But overall, India, I think really, true example which religious harmony, 1,000 years, kasoda,
practiced.
So therefore, that you should you should have clear sort of awareness and sort of say conviction, religious harmony, very possible, and also whole people's way of life based on ahimsa. Ahimsa, not out of fear or indifferent, but ahimsa, genuine ahimsa. You have the sort of potential to harm them, but deliberately restrain harming them. That is non-violence. So, ahimsa, the action level, ahimsa. The motivation level, karuna. Ahimsa, genuine ahimsa, is the act of karuna. Clear? So, the karuna, irrespective whether believer or non-believer, we are social animal. Individuals' future depend on rest of the society and cooperation. The mental level, emotional level, the force which bring together is sense of concern of others' well-being. That brings together anger, jealousy, extreme sort of competitive sort of feeling, views, and anger, hatred, divide, or kasotapa, torchma.
Will cause disintegration in the community.
So therefore, and then the scientific research, now latest scientific research, you see, they say more compassionate heart here, it automatically bring the physical structure more balance. Otherwise, you see, some scientists, now they say constant fear, constant anger, hatred, actually eating our immune system. In America, some scientists already carry some experiment. Some group of people, in sometimes students, you see, firstly give them some sort of awareness about compassion, love, and sort of the usefulness about that. Then 2-3 weeks each day, about 1 hour, some kind of thinking about that. So before they start that experiment, sort of what's the lesson, they check blood pressure, amount of stress. And after 3 weeks training, again check. The blood pressure reduce, stress reduce. As a result, person become much happier, have more smile. Then there are sort of relations with other fellow friends also become much more because of the peaceful, like that. So now scientists, you see, now I said they found peace of mind is very important for good health. Affluent society, drugs, trouble of drugs, and alcoholism increasing. Because lack of inner peace. So, the troubled mind, they feel very unhappy. So, they do not know how to develop through inner sort of say, because of the
awareness,
through inner awareness, and create calm mind. Since they do not know that, they never pay attention about that. Then they rely on alcohol or drugs, like that. Among your sort of friends in different colleges or different schools, how many people who take drug? Not much. Some. Among Tibetan students also, you see, now there are some cases take drug. Like that. So these are failure. The proper utilization of our 1,000-year-old culture.
No.
So therefore, now you have a very rich tradition. Ahimsa, Karuna. So these are very, very, I think, relevant to today's world. So you young people, in order to create peaceful world, happier world, use this Indian tradition fully, and you can make significant contribution. So you, as an Indian, you should feel proud. The 1,000 years, you have very, very unique, meaningful cultural heritage that you should not forget or neglect. Some sort of nations, materially highly advanced. They are facing some different kind of moral crisis or some problem in the mind or emotion. So you simply blindly follow materially, sort of, because of materialistic life. Should not do that. We already sort of notice the materialistic life will not bring genuine peaceful society or peaceful individual. So therefore, while you catching up modern technology, modern education, extremely important, but meantime, should not neglect your own thousand-year-old deeper knowledge about mind, about emotion. Ancient Indian psychology is very, very rich. Last 30 years, I have so serious engagement with scientists, many scientists, now over 30 years. So eventually, many scientists now really showing deep interest or eagerness to learn from ancient Indian psychology. The ancient Indian psychology, modern psychology, compare ancient Indian psychology, modern psychology, like a kindergarten level. So you should feel, or you should pay more attention about your own traditional treasure, India's treasure. You should not forget that. Okay. Now some questions or some discussions. Even some heated discussion. I love heated discussions. It's a little bit of a rat face.
In order to facilitate this, we have two people with microphones in the aisles. So if you will just come and form a line here, and then alternately we'll ask the questions. So the first person...
Yes,
on the two sides. Yes, just take that microphone. Mm. And if you could just come up and form a line on this line, it'll move much faster.
Mm?
Down this aisle.
No, you do that. Two microphones.
Yes.
So this side, go there. This side, go there.
And you can come and stand here in so that we move quickly between questions. So whoever wants to ask the next question...
Yes, not here.
Good morning.
Oh, there also is one microphone. Okay. Yes. Then, okay. Stop.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Akshat Gupta from Bluebell School. It's an honor and privilege to meet you, sir. I'd like to ask you a question. Listening to you talking so inspiringly about ethics and compassion has made me think about the various categories of people who are treated in the most unethical and uncompassionate way by our society, such as those people who are considered lowly, subordinate, and especially women. I feel that, among the other factors, religion has a huge role to play in the way which mentalities towards people are structured. Sir, could you please tell me about the Buddha's attitude towards women? Where do the women find themselves in the Buddhist faith?
Of course, no question, various major different religious tradition. I always put at major because some primitive religions, that's something different. Just worship something. Even worship sun or moon. These are not much philosophical background. So, I always mentioning major religious tradition. That's those religion with certain philosophical explanation or certain sort of concept. So all major religious tradition have very, very important role regarding promotion of inner values. Use different philosophical views. That means different methods. However, now crisis facing by humanity, 7 billion human beings. Out of 7 billion, over 1 billion human beings, non-believer. So, the existing various religious traditions cannot sort of reach these non-believers. And firstly, non-believer, the number also quite big, over 1 billion. And then secondly, over 1 billion human beings, they also human beings. They deserve happy life. So therefore, we need a method to reach non-believers. Then again, frankly speaking, among the believers, there are quite a number of corrupted believers, isn't it? I think among Hindu gurus or Buddhist gurus and also Christianity, Islam, Judaism, I think everywhere some corrupted religious believer, and also I think some among even some the leaders also some corrupted there. So religion then use method to exploit mainly money and also sometimes sex. So, obviously, existing religious faith not adequate to bring firm conviction about moral ethics. So, we need systematic education to teach, to educate people. Moral ethics are basis of one's own happy life and physical health. Then, sometimes I call hygiene of physical include our education. Now we need hygiene of emotion should include. Clear? So therefore, now we need the way of approach about this moral ethics, not necessarily based on religious faith, but that, again, India's tradition, secular. India, multi-religious nation. So India's constitution based on secularism. So according to Indian understanding, secularism means respect all religions and also respect non-believer. That's very relevant to today's world. In the West, you see, they are sort of understanding about secular is something the disrespect to religion. That also, you see, I think it's possible because the French Revolution, Bolshevik Revolution, you see, there's some tendency against religion. If we go detail or deeper level or thorough investigation, then any human being, how can against the practice of love, practice of compassion, if someone totally against compassion, then we have to against our mother. Isn't it? I think 7 billion human beings. In the past also, I think through centuries, I think no person against mother's affection. So real message of religion is practice of love, compassion. forgiveness, tolerance, simplicity, contentment. So no thinking person cannot against real religions. But the religious institution during French Revolution or Bolshevik Revolution, religious institution, firstly, they themselves corrupted. And mostly, the most important, the religious institution supporting elite exploiter. So revolutionary people, you say, have to fight that institution. So it creates impression because of the against religion. I often, feel, and also telling some people, that when I was in Peking, 1954-55, I had sort of several meetings with Chairman Mao Zedong. I really admire him. Oh, great revolutionary, great one. One occasion, he praised Buddha. He considered Buddha Shakyamuni was revolutionary, because at that time caste system is something quite serious. So Buddha against that. So he considered Buddha revolutionary. Then one occasion he mentioned religion is opium. So then I feel he do not understand what is the real meaning of religion. If Chairman Mao Zedong knows real meaning of religion is practice of love, compassion, or sense of concern of others' well-being, then how can Chairman Mao Zedong against that? The very motivation carry revolution is out of concern of poor people's well-being. This case is particularly working class people's well-being. Clear? So therefore, I think firstly, various different religious traditions have very sort of a great potential to promote these inner value. At the same time, there are non-believers, many non-believers, so we have to find a method to reach these non-believers. And also among the believer also, the clear sign, lack of firm conviction from within. I often telling my Indian friends, I think each of your family, I think you observed your parents, I think every morning some prayer, isn't it, in the front of or Shivalingam, or Ganesh, or Brahma, or like that. But then, their daily life, some cases, a lot of corruptions. So almost it seems they pray to God, please help me, my corrupt life should be successful. How can? If God God is full of compassion and also truthful. So I think God should not bless corrupted people. Instead of blessing, must punish. Punishment. Isn't it? So this clearly shows religious faith also, corrupted. Ultimately, due to lack of conviction about moral principle. I fully committed. Wherever I talk, I give talk, I always talking or mentioning the secular ethics. Secular, as I mentioned earlier, He said, not at all negative towards religion, but respect all religion. One thing. Now here, in different tradition, religious tradition, sometimes little bits of discrimination, male and female. Now that I think we should read. We should read. You see, any religion, there are, I think, two aspects or three aspects. One aspect, religion. Religion. And faith, the very purpose of faith is cultivate compassion, respect to others. For example, the concept of creator, really very helpful, you see, to bring sort of closeness. The entire creature of creator is actually brothers, sisters. So the method, and then single-pointed faith towards God, towards Creator. Creator, infinite love. So more closer feeling with Creator, so you have more willingness to follow. Then those Indian tradition, again now, Sangha philosophy, the Jain philosophy, and Buddhist philosophy, no concept of Creator, but rather self-creation. You see, their sort of basic sort of philosophical view is law of causality. So, after all, you see, we ourselves, you see, create our world, our life. Not only this life, but life after life. Go that way. So that also very powerful to bring conviction about moral principle. If you help other, you get benefit. If you harm other, you get negative consequences. So different method, but bring same goal, compassionate person. Clear? That is religious aspect. Now, philosophical aspect, as I mentioned earlier, some say there's creator, some say no creator. I think in the eyes of the believer of creator, then we Buddhists are non-believer, and I think very sinful. I heard, you see, some American, Orthodox, was religious thinking. I heard someone express, now since Dalai Lama quite often come to America, so now number of American now leading to hell. It's understandable. It's understandable. Yes, from the perspective from the non-theistic religion, then theistic religion is Tondolokta. So, there are two kinds of
Wrong views that we talk about. One is an exaggerated way of looking at things, and then the other is denying existence and the truth.
A lot of discussions in ancient Indian Buddhist literature, a lot of discussions. So these are, so you see, in philosophical field, big differences, even within Buddhist tradition. The Vaiseshik tradition, school of thought, and Sautantik school of thought, Chittamantra school of thought, then Madhyamaka school of thought. Big differences. Lot of argument, lot of debate. These are very, very sort of useful. More sort of different argument, really immense help to open our mind and increase the ability of investigation. just you blindly accept whatever you heard, believe, then no further develop your mind. So debate with different views are very, very essential for development of human sharp mind. Clear? So then third aspect is cultural aspect, I feel. So then in the society, I usually say telling people, I think a few hundred thousand years ago, when we human being, you see, began to develop, there was no concept of leadership. Everybody equal. Perhaps I think mother may become the superior. Had to look after their children, all like that. Then gradually, population increased, and the farming system also start. Then the emotion or concept of mind increase. So then some mischievous people, or some criminal or mischievous sort of activities happen. Then the concept of leadership come. At that time, no rule of education. So in order to become leadership, only physical sort of strength. So male dominance then come. So then those ancient religious tradition, at the religious tradition, you see, start the existing cultural heritage in the society, male dominance there. So some impact in religious tradition, a cultural aspect. I felt, it seems to me like, you see, Islam in Kazakhstan, mainly in Arab area, start from Mecca, this area. So the society more because of nomad sort of type. So perhaps I think more sort of the crimes or these things. So the Quran also, you see, mentioned Sharia sort of law. Because of the existing sort of society, a lot of sort of crimes, these things. So particularly emphasis on that. Then also in this India, I mean this country, I think during Buddha and Mahavira come, there was the practice of also animal sacrifice, immense sort of number sacrifice, cows and other sort of actually. So because of that kind of sort of society, that kind of thing, so Buddha and the Mahavira particularly emphasis don't kill animal. And vegetarianism, I think particularly, you see, because of the emphasis, because of the circumstances. So now Buddhism, basically Buddha give equal right, men and women. So Bhikshu Vow, Bhikshu Ne Vow. Equal. However, when monks and nuns together, then monk should first, then nun next. I think at that time, the society, if Buddha put equal, one bhikshuni like that, I think society may not feel acceptable, or may not feel some strange, maybe. So meantime, at Buddhisattvayana, especially sort of emphasis, equal. And then also Tantriyana, some special emphasis, male should not look down female. Particularly to mention that. So basically, equal. Very clear. But some aspect of practice, because of the society's sort of the, because of the culture or habit, some sort of influence. So now you understand now. Religious part, all major religious traditions, same. Philosophical part, big differences. It's just a method. When we see differences, some say creator, some say no creator. Some say rebirth, some say no rebirth. There's a big differences, but doesn't matter. All, you see, the same goal, promoting human compassion. Okay. Then third aspect, cultural aspect. Now actually, the September, coming September, we are going to have national level, all major religious leaders or representatives together in Delhi, some discussions. So I'm going to sort of appeal or suggestion the cultural aspect, the society sort of, because of the culture or habit changing. Now, for example, a feudal system, no longer. Maybe some remote area, I think, still practice feudal, isn't it? Some Bihar or some other, in some remote area, isn't it? So this now, of course, through education, eventually, you see, will change. So therefore, I think the Quran, some points about how to deal with Kasajuti, slaves. So these are the existing sort of social, existing sort of society Kasota.
Norms.
Ka.
Existing norms.
Norms. Norms, right. Norms, like that. So that aspect, now caste system and the dowry. These, I think, now time come to think seriously, and religious leader should speak. Now time change. This must change. Clear. This does not mean changing your faith. No. Actually serving your faith. Now next question.
Good morning, Your Holiness. Good morning. My question for you is, my name is Manat Mehta. I'm from Pathways World School. And my question for you is, keeping in mind that my generation is going to shape the future, how do you envision the future of the world in the next few decades?
As I mentioned earlier, firstly, I think now a lot of global issue, including global warming, and also the drinking water, some problem now. And then human population today 7 billion. End of this century will reach 10 billions. I think India today about 1 billion. The end of this century maybe, I think, I don't know. If maximum, maybe 1.5 billion. I don't know. Then difficult. A lot of problems. And the nature resources also, you see, become difficulties. And meantime, the gap, rich and poor, serious matter. Global level, huge gap. At the national level, also huge gap. In Delhi itself, some people, luxury sort of house or life. Meantime, same street, slums and street children. We cannot ignore these things. So, therefore, as far as socio-economic theory is concerned, I am Marxist. Because I very much attracted the Marxist economy, much emphasis equal distribution, not just think profit. But meantime, I totally against Leninism. Lenin, too much authoritarian system. So, human society, the development of the society, for that, individual's creativity is very, very essential. Former Soviet Union, everything centralized, and China also centralized. So, economic development and also some sort of, what's it, the scientific research, all feel some sort of stagnation. So then, finally, Deng Xiaoping, you see, as compared to liberalize the socialist country, follow capitalism. So therefore, now the way to reduce this gap does not mean richer people should be poor. No. The poorer section of people's living standard must sort of raise. So natural resources also is questionable. So therefore, in the terms of global level, it's very, very important we need sense of oneness of humanity. Their problem is our problem. Our success is their success. So everything, you see, interrelated, interdependency. So we need, now like Indian, should think. Firstly, of course, your own nation, but meantime, think about global level. That's very, very important. I think great thinker of India, ancient India, like Buddha, always say, entire sentient being. So therefore, the vision for global level is very important. Then, one sort of particular vision, the young people, gradually this century should be century of dialogue. Past century, century of violence. Now this century now should be century of dialogue. That means problem, different interest, disagreement always there. So the method to solve that through dialogue, through talk, not use weapon. So, once we cultivate younger generation, new generation mind, whenever we see some potential of conflict, then dialogue, how to solve this through dialogue, never thinking how to use weapon. That we must sort of cultivate in our mind. Clear? So therefore, the no longer useful weapon or military forces. One time I heard one German professor mentioned, now according to the new reality, no need defense ministry or foreign ministry. Must deal with other nation as a domestic. So foreign ministry means something different. Foreigner, we. And the hypocrisy, and the cheating. Sometimes you see the diplomats or leaders mad. big smile, but in deep inside, full of suspicion. So this kind of thing, I think eventually she should remove. Men, women, same, talk. So therefore, I think one of our vision should be demilitarized world. If possible. Meantime, some mischievous people always possible. Therefore, some mobile casualty, mobile survey.
No, force.
Mobile force. Small number. Well equipped. Some trouble area. Some troublemaker. Start some problem. Go there. And that also, I think the Franco-German unified force, I heard there. I heard it's such unified force. That's the best guarantee. No longer any conflict between these two nations because unified force. So eventually, I think a whole European Union, I think a unified force. Then also America, South America, North America, Canada, unified force. Then eventually India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, unified. Then eventually unified force with China. Then no longer any danger. It's possible. As Chinese people do not want suffering, don't want war. People level, no. Indian people do not want war. And Pakistanis also do not want to kill. So I think step by step, you see, we can firstly, I think, a unified force, then eventually demilitarize. Then in the West, and some time back, I also, you see, mentioned or expressed in Japan. At that time, Japanese economy, you see, each year, every year, you see, increasing. So at that time, I told, there is no guarantee your economy development go this way. One day, you will reach some stage. Therefore, it is better to prepare mentally this limitation. So after a few years, exactly it happened. So some, I heard, some Japanese companies, sort of leader, even suicide. Mentally not prepared. So I think in America, I often is telling, their lifestyle, and particularly those millionaires' lifestyle, must change. I think India also, you see, sometimes, you see, those richer family, I think the three rings, three fingers, or sometimes one finger, two rings. What use? And a lot of sort of kasada.
Ornaments, necklaces.
Ornaments. Jewelries.
Jewelries.
Just yesterday I saw kasa, a newspaper in front of the page. Kasa mentioned.
Advertisement.
Kasa chiktu. Now Delhi, khasa, sikh khasa. Have you seen the? I think one newspaper you see mentioned Delhi will have one luxury sort of khasa there. Luxury mare khasa, they mean distribution. Jewelries, new khasa, the shop.
Mall.
Have you seen? When I saw that. Oh, waste of money. If all billion Indian have that kind of thing, then okay. While millions of Indian people remain poor, and in some cases poverty, then these are, I think, morally not fair. Isn't it? And then, you see, I often, you see, telling or expressing in the West, you see, billionaires also, you see, same size of stomach. And also limited fingers. If 100 fingers, then yes, those billionaire 100 fingers, so 100 rings, okay. But only 10 finger, isn't it? And the stomach size also same. So better simplicity, adequate food, and not too much drink. And then even health also better. In America and Europe, I think the problem of overweight, some young girls, young boys, like that. I think they are very much worried concerned that. Who created that? Themselves. Too much drink, too much eat. One time in Harvard University, I give some sort of lecture, few days. So at that time, you see, the car arranged by the organizer. Nowadays, the government arranged. So one driver, one gentleman, huge body. You see, he always looks tired because of overweight. Then some distance, I notice he always eating something. So his overweight problem is his own creation. There's too much drink, liver problem. Too much smoke, lung problem. Isn't it? So, they use common sense. I think lifestyle, more simplicity, and adequate nourishment. And that's much better. Much better. So these things much depend on education and thinking. You young people should not feel, or someone, some jewelry, and you should not feel, oh, I also want that kind of jewelry. Don't think that way. And that also is, I usually say, teasing young women or young sort of girls. The inner beauty is more important than external beauty. Here you see no one. You see some cosmetic.
No.
So you see, sometimes some women, you see a lot of sort of makeup. Their eyes also is some different color. It looks terrible, not necessarily beautiful, but you should spend a lot of things. But the real beauty is here. See, inner beauty there, then marriage will remain long-lasting marriage. Without inner beauty, just external beauty, and a few days, love or fun, then after a few days, quarrel start. Isn't it? So that's usually, I telling you, see, people like that. So actually the vision, this century should be a century of dialogue, then eventually world should be demilitarized. That also step by step. Next question.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I am Priyal Bhavna from Bluebell School International. You have, and you're continuing to inspire a lot of people, especially the young, the youth. But what has kept you so determined, that has influenced you to be so determined? Also, Your Holiness, everybody has a low point in their life. Have you ever felt lonely or being defied by God or anybody, the people around you? If yes, Your Holiness, then how have you decided to face such a circumstance?
Karsa, lonely? I always say, of course, when I was young in Potala, in the name of Dalai Lama, a little bit isolated, so particularly, I still remember, particularly during winter, in Podala, Podala, there is not much of a place to run or to play. And particularly with water, Podala, no opportunity, no because of possible that. So during winter time, according to our tradition, you see, Dalai Lama remain in Podala. Then, about few weeks sort of retreat with my tutor. So then sometimes, and particularly the afternoon session or retreat, the sun go there, and the shadow, you see, because of increasing. My tutor there, one senior tutor, actually regent, usually is no smile. And then I also, you see, have to remain like that. Then I really boring. One sort of short moment, this is some sort of excitement, is the water ball where?
No.
Thing.
Offering. No.
Offering water. That room, very ancient room, some mice there. So you see some mice, you see, come and the sipping water. Hey, their face, really, very, very sort of alert, very beautiful. So that's one short moment to feel happy. Otherwise, it's really boring. And then, you see, occasionally, because of hurt, some local boys and girls, daytime, they, with their animal, go pasture.
Nice. Pasture. Go pasture.
And afternoon, then returning. So when they're returning, they're singing. Because of folk songs. Folk songs. Sing. Then sometimes I felt, oh, I much happier. One of them, much happier. Then Dalai Lama in the room. Cold, dark room with serious tutor. Then gradually, you see, I use my common sense. You see, with this sort of name, I can serve more people. Then gradually, my serious practice about altruism. Then, mentally, I always feel I'm one of the 7 billion human beings. Whenever I meet people, just human beings, our brothers, sisters, no differences, emotionally, mentally, physically, so no differences, no distance. So I never felt loneliness. No problem. If I have too much stress, I'm Dalai Lama. I'm a special person. Then loneliness comes. You yourself make distance from other. You are something special. Then talk. You must be very, very careful. Each word or smile or face, I don't care. When I met people, I just, you see, I'm talking to another human being. It's the same emotion, same problem in emotion. Then, you see, no barrier. So there's no basis of loneliness feeling. I think loneliness is actually because of mental creation.
No.
Mental projection.
Mental creation.
Mental creation. Like that. So if you too much self-centered attitude, then loneliness comes. Open. You just one of the human being. Then no basis of loneliness. Clear. Next question.
My greetings to Your Holiness. I'm Varun. Sir, our generation is very much distracted and by and engaged into latest technology gadgets. And one of your speeches, you figured out that technology is no guarantee to a better world. So please, can you explain it to us?
Karsa, technology.
Technology.
Technology, I think its own sort of kasota duty. I think kasota reach information easily one another, and communication become easier, and also is reach now distance not much sort of important. So therefore, technology itself very useful, very important. But then the very purpose of technology is serving humanity. Technology not kasoda. I mean, technology for human being, not human being for technology. Clear? So we are controller or user of the technology. So technology should consider us as our sort of servant, not our master. If we become slave of technology and also slave of money, some my friend, I used to teasing them, you are slave of money. No sort of sufficient rest. Always go here and there for business. Actually, slave. Too much worry. It's totally wrong. So, technology, if you sort of watch television, I think 2-3 years ago, I met one in Indian. I think family. So I think 2 or 3 sons and some daughters also. So then one asked me, "Do you often see television?" And I told, "No. In the past, I used to visit or go to cinema." I love. And then later, yes, I see. I watch, you see, television, mainly documentary film, like that. Then last few years, no, just radio, BBC radio, I listen what is going on the world. Never opened my television. So then, The one son asked me, "And did you just hear yourself?"
No. The son asked, "How does his Holiness spend his time?"
So that means, you see, he, that person, I think, very much sort of spend more time just seeing television. Without that, he find it difficult to pass in time. That also, I think, a clear sign. The modern materialistic life, the happiness or satisfaction on totally relying on sensorial level experiences. So, unless something seeing, or some hearing music, see, you difficult to passing the times. If you have knowledge and ability to think, to use mental level to bring satisfaction or inner peace, then not relying on sensorial. one occasion I met one Catholic monk in Spain, Barcelona. Not Barcelona. One occasion in one monastery in Spain. I was told that monk 5 years remained in hermit life in the mountain without hot meal, just tea and bread. So when I was there, he came to see me. And his English, I think, worse than my English. So I have more courage to talk with him my broken English. And the accent also, the Spanish sort of accent, the English difficult to hear
no.
Like that. So then I asked him, I was told you spent 5 years in hermit life in the mountain. And what kind of your practice? And his answer, meditate on love. When he answered that, in his eyes, some special significance, full of joy, peace. So that's the way to bring inner peace, not relying on sensorial experiences. Clear? So this also now related with ancient Indian sort of culture, Indian sort of psychology or Indian sort of knowledge. See, provide a lot of work about mind. The modern superficial materialistic life, too much rely on sensorial experiences. So since last few years, I also used to suggesting to scientists, especially brain specialists, now you must make a distinction.
So to make distinction between what is conceptual mind and non-conceptual mind.
Oh. So in other words, the movement, sensorial consciousness, and movement, mental consciousness. I think so far, you see, they have no sort of kasoda, no experience. Because there's no concept about, you see, differences, sensory level consciousness and mental level consciousness. So obviously, during dream, no sensory consciousness, the mental consciousness. So during awakening, now for example, you see, you eye consciousness seeing me, but your main mind may go your home. Isn't it? It's possible, always possible. So you see, there's differences. Sensorial consciousness, fully alert, but mental consciousness also, you see, go some different things. So obviously, and then dream time, or awakened time, you see, there are differences. So therefore, the scientist, brain specialist, so far, no clear sort of awareness, the distinction. Right? So now, modern science, year by year, even month by month, further develop. So far, science very much limited within the physical thing. Now, the end of 20th century, beginning of this 21st century, more and more medical scientists and also brain scientists, now they begin to investigate or think more seriously about consciousness. So some scientists, over, I think, the 20, 30 years, we know. So a lot of discussions. So some scientists, they are not religious believers, certainly not Buddhist, but they begin to convince the continuation of mind. So after death, continuation of mind. So they begin to accept rebirth theory. So science now also now changing. The field of the scientific field now expanding. That's a very good, very healthy sign. Some radical scientists, radical or classical scientists, they only brain, no consciousness, no mind. So mind is just because of the movement of brain. Clear. So one Japanese scientist, brain scientist, see, he very much insists beside the brain, no consciousness. Meantime, he very much worry because his son has passed away or something. So when I met, when we met, you see, he very much sort of worry. Yeah. Very specialist about brain. So I think as a specialist, I think he must remove the part of the brain which creates suffering. Remove that. And then become like Kasachuti, robot. So sometimes I teasing, you see, scientists who explaining about mind or consciousness on the basis of sort of the brain. Test a different part of brain and including animal mice. So sometimes I teasing, say, human brain now complaining us, you see, the full explanation about my brain cannot explain from the experiment of animal brain. Sensory level, same, animal and we. Mental level, our brain is much more sophisticated. So human mind, human consciousness cannot explain on the basis of experiment on animal brain. Clear? So again, ancient Indian sorrow, they practice shamatha, meditation. Best way to investigate our mental function, mental system, that eventually you can realize the pure level of consciousness. You can meditate. Clear. Next question.
Good morning, Your Holiness. I'm Vinayak Dole from Bluebell School International. Sir, I would like to ask you a question, that how can we work extremely hard and still remain very happy and content in life?
Correct. I think mainly the purpose and motivation. Purpose, serving other. And the motivation, sense of concern of others' well-being. Then, some sort of difficult days, but at the end of the day, you feel, oh, my day spent purposeful. Then you feel satisfaction. Physically, maybe a little tired, but mentally, deep satisfaction. If you too much self-centered attitude and striking money or some other things, then something different. Next question.
Good morning. Good morning, Your Holiness.
I had
read that in Buddhist philosophy, detachment is the cause of suffering and to not suffer is to be detached. But isn't compassion the opposite? Isn't compassion also attachment?
Good question. Compassion on the level of biological factor, very much mixed with attachment. That's biased only towards your friend or only towards those people who are nice to you. So that kind of compassion cannot extend your enemy because their attitude is negative. Okay. Now, take the biological factor compassion as a seed, then use our intelligence. Now that kind of limited biased attachment or love, animal also have. Animal mother, very much sort of love their youngster, their children, even birds. So now we human being, this human intelligence, as I mentioned earlier, reasoning, analyze, self-centered, extreme selfish, is actually create more anxiety, more stress. Think about others' well-being, then you get more inner strength, more self-confidence, as I mentioned earlier. Then, with a limited bias to compassion, then reach unbiased compassion. First, compassion, limited bias to compassion, is very much oriented about others' attitude. So it cannot go up to your enemy. They further develop that with help of human intelligence, then not oriented about others' attitude, but the human being themselves, or even animal. They want happy life. They do not want suffering. They also have the same right. So use these reasons, and my future depends on them. They are happy, I will be happy. Use these reasons. Then that compassion, not mixed with attachment. That compassion, unbiased compassion. That can be kasota, infinite, universal compassion. I think all major registration teaching that. One my Muslim friend, told me that at public, he told the genuine Islam practitioner should extend love towards entire creature of Allah. So no discrimination, enemy or friend, entire creature. So therefore, attachment is actually obstacle about infinite love. So therefore, in training about love, firstly, you should detach towards your friend. And attachment towards your friend, then anger towards your enemy. So you must make equal, then detach. Then develop infinite love, right? Universal love, like that. Next question.
Good morning. I'm Malika Dhawan from Springdale School, Dholakwa. Your Holiness, you spoke about war and unpleasantness. So in a world where there is so much hatred, violence, and anger, how do you think compassion will overcome these intense emotions?
Through education. Through education. Okay. I believe we can change. Therefore, education, the existing education is inadequate, not adequate. Only the materialistic oriented. And that also, you see, we can't blame. About 1,000 years ago, in the European continent, the separate education institution started. I remember Bologna University. A few years ago, I invited by them, the 1,000-year Kasota anniversary. So I remember. So the education institution started 1,000 years ago. At that time, church carried full responsibility about moral ethics. Now time passes, the church influence of church reduce. The family value also reduce. So then the education institution alone actually have the responsibility of both education, brain development, and development of warm-heartedness. So now that part not adequate. Not adequate. I think we, now judging change within 20th century, early part of 20th century, I think people consider war is something different method to win your side. So when nation declare war on your neighbor or enemy, the every citizen of the country proudly join war effort. So people also, you see, say, oh, hero, hero, hero. Later part of 20th century, after Vietnam War, I think that kind of attitude changing. When Iraq crisis about to start, several, I think a million people from Australia up to the United States demonstrate against violence. And many Americans really critical about Vietnam War. And then during Cold War also, you see, the people very much against. So these are, I think, very sound sort of
indication.
Now desire, peace, really kasota stronger. And then also is one, my friend, one scientist, German professor, and also I consider him as my tutor about quantum physics. Two tutor. One, David Bohm, Englishman. One, von Weizsäcker, German professor. So the professor, German professor, I think 90s. So one occasion he told me, when he was young, then every German eye, French is their enemy. Similarly, in eyes of French, German is their enemy. Now that kind of attitude completely changed. So things are changing. Now European Union. When I ask, this is some young people, what do you feel other country? They say, oh, our neighbor. You see, things are changing. And I think technology also helping in this field. And the education also, you see, helping. I think De Gaulle, one time, because of fierce sort of resistance about German occupation. So he escaped to England, and from there he carried. Then, after war, Adenauer, West German Chancellor, I think first Chancellor, they become very good friends. Then the idea of European Union started. So you see, people, the new reality, you see, according to new reality, thinking more common interest, more seriously, rather than national interest or sovereign thing. Like Germany, I think there are a Deutsche Mark, very high sort of value, but they sacrifice now euro. I think Italy, lira, not much value, so maybe better to forget, you see, lira and euro is much stronger. So these things, usually you see, currency is the symbol of sovereign, isn't it? They don't care. Now, because of the border also now, not much sort of restriction. So these are, I think, very clear sort of thinking, or very, very clear of signs of more open-minded, more educated, more holistic thinking. So now we further, through education, cultivate, as we discussed, the compassion. Compassion is not necessarily something good for other, but compassion, very good for our own health, for our own peace of mind. Sometimes compassion not necessarily bring happiness in the other person. One time, I often used to telling people, one time in Germany, one function, they quite late, one function, they asked me. So when I go to that place, as my sort of usual sort of habit, whenever I saw some person, I always smile. So there's one young girl, one young woman, German woman, coming. I smile. Then it seems she got suspicion. So she, her sort of face, something different, something changed, and then go like that. And I also turned then. So my expression of compassion or love brings fear or suspicion on that person's mind. Clear? So practice of love, not necessarily helping other, but immediately benefit your own inner world, peace, confidence. Next question.
Your Highness, good morning. I'm Devansh from GD Goenka Public School. You emphasized on inner peace. Please, can you guide us on how to achieve it?
What do you want to say? In a secular level, I usually use three factors. Think about our common experience. We all come from our mother. We all grown up with mother's affection or parent affection. Then, obviously, mother's milk. So, there's common experience. We all have the same experience. When mother
held us,
carried
in her embrace.
One scientist, you see, told me that after birth, next few weeks, mother's physical touch is crucial factor for proper development of child's brain. Without mother's touch, physical touch, child lonely put there, very bad. So, that's human nature. So we all have the potential, you see, to show affection to other. Because you yourself, immense experience, satisfaction from our mother's affection. That's the first, so to say, one reason, one factor. Then, second, common sense. I think you know, I think in your class, those, your classmate, maybe come from a very rich family, but lack of human affection, not necessarily happy person, happy student. Or student whose family may be poor, but full of love, that student much happier, clear. And then you yourself also, the day you receive some sort of affection from your friend, from your family member, or your kasa chodhi, boyfriend or girlfriend, oh, then that day you feel much happier. The day you see your little bit quarrel with your girlfriend or boyfriend, then the whole day you feel unhappy, isn't it? So that's the biologically, it's a sort of that's the reality. So therefore, use common sense. And those your neighbor who have full of affection in that family, much happier than those family billionaire or millionaire, but lack of friendship, lack of affection in their family member, not necessarily happy. So that's common sense. Use common sense. Then third, most important is scientific finding, as I mentioned earlier. Constant anger, fear, very bad for our health. Love, affection, very good for our health. Very good for our health. So, these three, the secular way, not touching any faith, not talking about God or Buddha or next life, simply because of that.
Relating
our experiences. Then, on that basis, then use different religious, what's it, the concept, creator or law of causality, that brings more conviction, more reasons. Like that. So that's, I think, way you see we can educate people. I think young people, young students, say occasionally in mandir or church, you see, you receive some sort of kasota teaching about love, compassion. It's not sufficient. In class, systematic, from kindergarten up to university, sort of explaining these things. Then the concept really absorbed in our heart. Then the compassionate sort of compassion is become part of your life. So that's the, I think, proper way to build happy world. Whether achieve or not, really worthwhile make attempt. With attempt, fail, no regret, neglect, and then some disaster happen, they really, because of the regret, you get some kind of guilty conscience. If you make effort tirelessly, fail, no regret, I done my best, then fail. And we can blame God. If you believe God, then we can blame God. We try our best but fail. So God did not sort of bless. One time in Hiroshima, the Nobel Peace Laureate, some summit meeting for peace, world peace. Then the other speakers, you see, express with God's bless, you see, world peace, because we'll prevail or something. Then my turn. If God's sort of blessing bring peace, then world always must be peaceful. So peace come not through prayer or blessing, but peace through action. So our action is more important than just to pray. I mentioned that. So Japanese usually use a very formal way, isn't it? Some Japanese officials is also there. So they also, I think, fully agree about my sort of the expression. Peace must come through action, not through prayer. They also did that. So, action is very, very important. And then logically, who creates violence? Who creates suffering? Not by God, but by human being. So person or the factor who creates violence, they should create peace, not God. Another sort of short story. Some years ago, at Patna, the chief minister, wonderful chief minister, you see, he built on Buddha's or say, Gaza, Bihara. So he invited me to participate in open ceremony. Then, in his speech, he mentioned, with Buddha's blessing, you see, his state, Bihar, quickly, prosper. Then my turn. Of course, I know Chief Minister, so I quite frankly mentioned, if your state prosper, come through Buddha's blessing, then your state much earlier prosper, because Buddha's blessing lasts 2,500 years, always there. So Buddha's blessing entirely depend on able chief minister's hand. I mentioned that. So we should be practical, realistic. The hypocritical way, not help. Isn't it? Like that. So of course, I am Buddhist monk. In my daily practice, including prayer, prayer to Buddha, but to that, helpful to my own peace of mind, not society. Society, only action. Clear. Do you have some reservation about my point? Or argument? Then, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I often, you see, telling when spiritual leaders of this country gathered, I always telling, I'm messenger of ancient Indian thought. So on the level of messenger, I'm quite active. So now my boss, spiritual leaders of this country, is actually my boss. I'm messenger. So now messenger quite active. So boss now must be active. I always appeal like that. So you, Indian, you are the because of descendants, where? Descendants of these great masters, or great thinkers, or philosophers. And as far as Buddhism is concerned, I also consider Buddha himself as a scientist, because you see, he mentioned, oh my follower, Buddha state, oh my follower, bhikshus and scholars should not accept my teaching out of faith, out of devotion, but rather thorough investigation and experiment. So that's a very, very scientific way. So his follower, like Nagarjuna, carry Buddha's message, because of implement. So they investigate Buddha's own teaching. Now this teaching we cannot accept because it goes against reasons. So they reject. So they took the liberty to reject about Buddha's own word. So I think that's a very scientific way approach. So I always say emphasis the importance of analytical meditation. So I also, you see, the most of my sort of practice analytical meditation, analyze, like that. So suppose you are, I usually telling you Indian, traditionally, historically, our guru. You are descendant of our guru. We are chela. So please think more seriously. And also, you see, I have something a little bit political. When chela suffer, guru also have moral responsibility. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Holiness. I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say that each one of us feels truly honored and greatly blessed to be in the presence of Your Holiness. Compassion purifies our hearts, detoxifies our mind, and we believe that in this time when transitions are exponential, the point of worry is how to cope with these changes. I'm sure that your talks of ethics and compassion have helped shape our impressionable minds, and that we will surely have a brighter future because of it, and that we will remember and cherish your teachings forever. Sorry. I'm really nervous. This has been an unforgettable experience for all of us, and it would be a privilege to have you amongst us again. I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude that you took out time for us from your hectic schedule, and as a token of appreciation, we would all like to present you the khata.